And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And good afternoon. So my name is Michael Goodrich. I'm from the Yarringers Council. I'm here the first Monday of each month to talk about community and what's happening in the Upper Yarra. And as we're coming to near the end of the year, we thought it'd be a good time to stop and think about emergency management and bushfire preparedness. So if you've just moved to the area, or you've been here for a while and thinking about how you can prepare this upcoming summer, we've got a few guests in today. We've got Lisa Keedle from Yarringers Council. Afternoon, Lisa.
Hi, Michael.
I got Kim Malamachi from Powertown.
Okay, Michael.
Hi, Kim. And Kim's part of the Powertown Emergency Management Committee. Is that correct?
More or less, yeah.
More or less. And so for the first session today, we're going to talk about what Council's role is around emergency management and the other agencies and how we work together. And then Kim's going to talk about how Powertown and what they're doing in regards to helping that town be prepared for bushfires and emergency management. And then a bit later on, we've got Phil from our Reefton McMahon Action Group, and they have a new community group that formed almost a year ago now, and they're also preparing themselves for how they can be as a community organised and get ready for bushfires. And lastly, at the end of the show, we're going to have Ben come in to talk about how you can prepare yourself as a resident around bushfires. So that's a big show today.
Lots of information.
It is, lots of information. And we'll be podcasts as well, so if you can go onto Yarra Valley FM website, and you can also listen back at your own leisure to hear all this information and capture it all into your brain and think about how you can put your own actions in place. So Lisa, first off, what's Council's role in emergency management and how do we work with other agencies?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Well, Council has a really wide-ranging role when it comes to emergency management across Yarra Ranges. But we do that, we don't do that alone, we do that in partnership with the emergency services and then support services like Red Cross or Department of Health and Human Services or Salvation Army. So we do a lot of planning and preparation with those agencies to get ourselves sort of understanding what our emergency management risks are, and of course bushfire is the biggest one for Yarra Rangers.
Mm.
So we spend a lot of the quiet time or the downtime before summer meeting with those groups and those agencies. We sometimes do training or exercises, so we actually do mock emergencies to sort of see how we're all ready to go and what skill set, testing our skill sets. And then a lot of our time also is actually working then with community around their own preparedness and resilience for any kind of emergency, so not just bushfires but storms, flood, kind of any other impact that might happen across Yarra Ranges.
Yeah. And so obviously you're working closely with the CFA, and who else is involved in regards to those agencies that part of when you're thinking about being prepared for a bushfire that might be coming, who's involved?
There's a number of, the CFA, Country Fire Authority is the obvious one. Believe it or not, we also work with Metropolitan Fire Brigade because there's a pocket of Yarra Ranges that's in the urban environment. We also work with Department of Environment, Water, Land and Planning. And we also work with Parks Victoria. We also work with Victoria Police, so they play a role in that in the area of just supporting the agency. So we talk about where those responsible agencies have their planning and their risks. So what do they do on public land, and then what does council do on our land, and then how do we support agencies and also private property owners to prepare us, because we all have a responsibility to reduce the bushfire risk across the Yarra Ranges. And Nathan will talk later about what you can do to actually prepare your own property. So there's a whole of municipal approach, I suppose. So every footprint has a responsibility. So when the fire danger period is activated, which hasn't been announced yet, but every landowner has a responsibility to reduce the bushfire risk.
Mm. And so how do they find out about that? So if you're a resident and you're in a bushfire, area that might be a risk? How do you know and how you become aware of those issues?
So there's a number of locations people can sort of go to. Of course, I'll refer everyone to websites. So the Country Fire Authority has a great website that you can go to. We have some information on our website, of Yarra Ranges Council's website, that you can type in emergency and find some information there. Red Cross has a great link to emergency management plans for individuals and for families, and that's a really good one to sort of read through. And even just by going there and going to those locations and sites, you're preparing yourself mentally, but also then understanding what you might need to do physically to get your property and yourself ready, which I think is important. There's yourself getting yourself ready, so emotionally, and then getting your property ready, which is the physical aspect of it.
Yeah. And so, say if you're a resident who just moved into the area, what's your suggestions and your tips for somebody to be thinking about if they're not really been aware of the bushfires before? Where should they start?
Look, there's a lot. I think that's a really good question, because there's a lot of people that come from the suburban area and move out to the beautiful Yarra Ranges area, and you know, it's gorgeous. It's treed and hilly and beautiful, but because of that comes the bushfire risk. My first point of call would be, knock on your neighbour's door and ask them. So if they're a long-term resident nearby, I think for me it's just, how about firstly connect with your neighbours, and then understand what the local history has been. So has there been a fire locally? So that local connection is really important. Get that general information that I spoke about before on the websites. But I think locally it's important that you connect with people that have lived in the area for a while. That might even be as simple as going down to your local CFA fire brigade station and actually just having a chat to them as well. Mm. So that way, if you really have no idea what to do, you're speaking to people who have some experience and some knowledge and then some local understanding.
Yeah. And so what are some ways that council supports people to get ready for bushfires?
So we work with, and you're talking to Kim and Phil later today, but we work with communities that are interested to do some preparedness and planning at the local level. So what we try and do is create a connection with those community groups and then build an understanding of what their main risk is. And as I said before, most of them for Yarra Ranges is bushfire. And then how can that community group then develop some independence, but also connection to these formal agencies that exist and run around the state and do all sorts of connections for bushfire. So, for example, recently, and Kim might talk about that, is that we did a statewide exercise in Powelltown, and then Phil, who's coming in later, we did a community half day with them around what actually it might look like for that township and what it actually might occur with fire mapping and planning. So having building an understanding with those communities about their risk, but also then talking to them about what they can and can't expect from us. The other component, I think, which is really key, so we're talking about the impact of bushfire, but the after effects, I think, is probably underestimated. And that's council's main role, is coordinating what's called relief and recovery after an emergency. So this is where we need to connect with people when they've been impacted and they've lost their house or they've lost their property or their assets. How do they rebuild and recover? So council has a number of people in the organisation. So I think one of your roles, Michael, is to actually go and connect with those communities. Then we have our building surveys that come out and give guidance to what can actually be rebuilt in the environment for people. And then we have, you know, our planning team that actually help people design and build a property for post bushfire, something better, a little bit more hardened up. And then we have the health team that go out and inspect sort of septic tanks and do all sorts of things. So there's a lot that council does in recovery to help communities rebuild. And, you know, council is really the best place to be able to do that when it comes to a layer of government, because we're connected, as I said before, to all those other agencies that can also support. So Department of Health and Human Services, Red Cross and Salvation Army all come in to support us, to support the communities that are impacted. So I suppose for me that's probably the key message for today.
Yeah. And I'm curious too, how long have you been in this role now?
I've been in this role for 2 years.
2 years. Mm. So you've gone through, also last year we had obviously the evacuation that was happening, or was preparatory to happening up in Reefton as well. So has it been, you've gone through that experience of those communities preparing for evacuations and preparing for bushfires?
Yeah, so I should also qualify. I've been in the Yarra Rangers in the emergency management team for 6 years. But in this role for 2 years. So we've been through a number of incidents. So we've had like the Wandon North fire up this valley. We've also had the storm effects that also impacted up the valley. And then, of course, this year we had the fire just out of near the Upper Yarra Dam. Mm-hmm. So that had an impact to the Reefton McMahon's Creek area.
Mm. I'm curious, out of all that time there, what's been, like, so you work very close with community and other agencies, what's been the most rewarding things for you being part of this?
I get a real sense of achievement and satisfaction through working with communities and having them understand and taking back a bit of their ownership around their preparing for any emergency. So working with people like Kim and Phil and those groups, and there's other groups, there's others in Warburton and Healesville, really satisfying, because we can't, council can't do it alone, CFA can't do it alone, DELP can't do it alone. So it's really important. So for me, that's the joy. That's why I get up and come to work every day, is to work with those community groups.
Yeah, do an amazing job. So Kim with me from Powertown, and Phil from Reefton's jumped into the seat as well. So,
g'day, Michael.
G'day.
G'day.
In the break, we're just talking about where you're both from, and you both come back from around Mitcham area back in the day.
Yeah, Donvale, Mitcham Road, Donvale.
Yeah,
good old Donvale.
It's a small world. So, Kim, what brought you to the Powertown? How did you end up in Powertown?
A man.
Yep.
In short, yeah. Might leave it there, Michael.
And so you're involved in the Emergency Management Planning Committee?
Yeah, yep.
In Powertown. Tell us about that. How did that start, and what do you do?
Yeah, so a couple of years after the 2009 bushfires, council approached the Powertown community and the Warburton community to see whether there was interest in being pilot communities, I suppose, for this thing called community emergency planning. And it was put to us that it was basically about people coming together to discuss what we could do to prepare ourselves before, during and after an emergency. And for us, that obvious emergency risk was bushfire. So from that initial public meeting, several residents put their hand up to come together and continue those discussions, and we formed the Powertown Emergency Planning Group, I think we called ourselves back then. And as a result of that, we developed a plan, which is now up to version 3. It was initially quite a large folder, and now it's a double-sided folder A3, so
very accessible,
much easier to update and reproduce and distribute. We've had a commitment to hold an event each year to just raise people's awareness about the bushfire risk and what we plan to do locally in the event that there is something. And the other thing we've basically done as a group is advocated for improvements. So whether that be getting a fire danger rating sign in town, we communicated with Vic Roads quite a few years ago about concerns around roadside vegetation and overhanging trees, because trees over the road is obviously a big risk for us.
Yeah.
And that led to some works along the Little Yarra Road. And currently we're just working on getting a community alert siren. So that's a work in progress, but something else we're advocating on behalf of the community to get.
Yeah. And Lisa's coming forward to talk about, you know, the agency's roles in CFA and council and Vic Roads being involved in that bushfire awareness. And what do you see as a resident in Powertown, what do you think is the importance of actually having a community management plan, emergency plan around, and involved in community around developing that?
Look, I think the most important thing for us, I think, is that as a community coming together, it makes it a lot easier for agencies to engage with us.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And I think for a community like ours, where we're very conscious of the likelihood of being isolated in a bushfire.
So, and so people maybe who are not aware of Powertown, can you describe what it's like and where you are and the great things about it, but also the challenges?
So the great things about it is the community and the natural environment. and that we do support one another when things go wrong. We've got a really, despite our small population, we've got a lot of groups.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a hall committee that also looks after the church. We've got a very successful sporting club.
Yes.
We've got a little CFA, and we've got our own water supply system. So the Powtown Residents Water Association is a big part of the town and a big asset in terms of the connectedness that's so important in an emergency. So that's the great stuff about Powtown.
And a population of around 200. Yeah. It's incredible to see so many community groups and so many assets in such a little population. It's amazing.
Yep.
And community driven.
Yes. Yeah. And we've got our general store, of course, which doubles as the pub and a restaurant and
the post office,
the general store. There's a coffee club that meets on a Wednesday regularly there. So, there's lots of things going for the town. As far as emergencies go, though, one of our limitations is the single road in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So if a tree does come down, it really limits our options. We've got a very heavily vegetated environment, which again creates those challenges of bushfire and all the rest of it. The black spots as far as phone coverage, I think that's improved, but that's still a reality. So, and I guess as far as bushfires go as well, our housing stock is very old. So our houses are difficult to defend, and because we've got our own water supply system, which is great in some respects, it can't be relied on in a bushfire. So we're always encouraging people that if their plan is to stay and defend, that they have a water supply system that's independent of the town system, because it won't. We know it won't stack up if everyone turns their taps on at the same time.
So. Yeah. And that's something you probably knew about before, but actually experienced a few weeks ago when you had a practice around the evacuation.
Yes, yeah. So, how long ago was it? It seems like ages ago now, but it wasn't. We had an evacuation of the town, as many people probably saw in the media and so forth. And we used that opportunity to test the system. So we asked residents to turn their taps on at 10 o'clock, and we had some sections of the town that were very quickly without water, and other sections that lost pressure, and that was with only really a handful of people turning their taps on at the same time. So we're going to revisit that again in December when we have a working beat. Just to sort of hit home that point to people that this is a real weakness in our firefighting system.
Yes, because even the mains or an urban area, everyone turns taps on it works fine, but in that area where you've got your own water association, it's you might have a plan to fight the fire or put the hoses on, but until you test and realise what it's like during an emergency, you're not quite sure how it's going to work. So that practice picked up those things about how you can change your own plan and be prepared.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. And how do you think that went? As a resident...
The evacuation.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was a great opportunity for people to learn at a number of levels. One was it gave them the opportunity to test their plan.
Mm-hmm.
So people, based on some of the feedback we got, people tried to turn on pumps and they didn't work, or there was things that had changed in recent times that they realised they needed to think about in terms of their own plans, so they needed to update their plans. So so that was really good. And then in terms of the evacuation component, where people were directed to a mock relief centre, they also were exposed to the role of the Red Cross at a relief centre and council's role in managing relief centres. And again, just in terms of that connection with agencies, at the end of the evacuation, when we all reconvened back at the Oval, it was a great chance for people to talk to the emergency services that were present as well. So we were really appreciative of the opportunity to do that evacuation, and everything adds to people's awareness and hopefully readiness with the summer ahead.
Yes, coming on. You know, it's quite wet this week. It's coming.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. We might. Anything else you'd like to add before we sort of move on to a bit of a song? Come back to Phil.
No, that's great. Thanks, great. Michael.
All right. Phil with you now, and Nathan has joined us. Hey, Nathan.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, good. So Nathan's from council, and he's going to sort of finish off today's show about, as a resident, how can you prepare and get ready for bushfire season? Phil and I were chatting on the break as well. And you, Phil, you went out to Powhatan for that community evacuation practice a few weeks ago.
Yes, I was lucky enough to get an invite to go out to the debrief at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I was very happy I did, because I felt it was a great event that sort of highlighted how much organisation goes into those an emergency, and how much the agencies actually put into it. So
yeah, it's a lot of coordination.
A lot of coordination, and a lot of people, dedicated people too. So
yeah, I think when everything runs smoothly, it looks.
I know, it was just fantastic. I wasn't involved in the whole day, but
yeah,
the break up at the end of it, and I was glad I went over there.
Yeah. I think before you said you've so you're part of the Reef Deep Mountains Action Group, which
yes.
is formed about 11 months ago now, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, about that time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you've been in the area for about 2.5 years, you said?
2.5 years,
So what? How did you get out to Reef, and how did you end up there?
Well, I've just always lived in the Yarra Valley or eastern suburbs, so
yeah.
It's been... I just feel comfortable up here, so...
Yeah.
When I got a chance to buy some property, I was able to get lucky enough to be able to buy up at Reefton.
Yeah, it's a stunning place.
Bath Creek, so yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
But the change in the community that's happened since we've all got together at the pub, strangely enough, we don't all drink, but it's a good place to meet.
Town centre.
Yeah, well, it's one of our only assets. We've got the pub and the CFA, and that's about it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
The people coming together have... It's highlighted the group, the community spirit of the area, and it's also enabled us to highlight some of the shortcomings of the area and start working on those. So
yeah,
it's been good.
And so, because you're the Reef Deep Mountains Creek community group or action group
action
started
group.
Around about 11 months ago, but that was around identifying. You know, there were some great things you want to see happen in the area as well, and some things missing. And one of those things that came up in that community planning process was about emergency management, and particularly about the bushfires and the priorities. And from that, the group formed a working group.
Yes. Initially, we came together to work on our biggest drawback in the community is the bridge that was removed. Because it's a safety issue for everybody in the area. There's no way to cross the creek there. So that was our main issue. But leading on from that, the second most important issue was some kind of an evacuation or emergency plan for all the people up there to be aware of, because it's only a small community, but it's a fairly drawn out.
Yes.
We don't all live together in each other's pockets. So
yeah, it's interesting comparison that, say, Powhatan to Reef Mountains Creek, because they're both around the same population, around 250.
Yeah.
But with Powhatan, you have a lot of assets in the and the football oval and the hall and a church. But in Reefton, you've essentially got the Reefton Hotel.
Yeah, and the CFA.
And the CFA.
And not much open ground. Yeah. We're basically right in the bush. So.
Yeah, and very spread out in regards to your population as well.
Yeah,
there.
And there's no... evacuation centre or community place where we can sort of use as a safe place or anything like that either. So that's another one of the things we've got to work on.
Yeah,
Safe place. But basically we're working on the issue of when an emergency, whether it's fire or flood or anything like that, or storm, in an emergency, how should people react or where they can go and what they can do. And we're in the process of drawing up... our emergency management plan at the moment.
Yes.
And that's a big job, but it's very interesting, and we're making big progress.
Yeah, and so you had an event, I think it was about a month ago.
Yeah, 6th of October we had a emergency management planning day, and we had all the agencies come out, and we also had, as you know, a lot of help from the council, and staff from there were fantastic. And we had everybody come along and present. Well, the agencies gave presentations of what they provide in the case of an emergency, and it allowed the locals to sort of understand what they can expect from official help.
Yes.
In relation to an emergency, but hopefully open their mind a little bit to being aware of where they're living and what the situation is when you involved in an emergency.
Yeah, and your community experienced that at the start of this year.
Yeah. That was a big wake-up call to a lot of people, I think. But to me personally, that's the first time I've ever been involved in being that close to a bushfire. So on one hand, it was scary, but on the other hand, it was a very good learning experience in that I was able to determine how I'm going to react under stress.
Yes.
And what my plan was and how it failed.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't good enough. So we were lucky that the wind changed and there was no major impact on our community, but it could have very easily gone the other way. Mm. It's only from the hard work of everybody involved that we're where we are and moving on.
Yeah, so. And that's a great thing, like you said, about under stress as well. You realise that when those situations happen, that it is stressful, and have a plan in place, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you can just follow your plan, not have to worry about making major decisions.
It's very important. You just don't know how you're going to react under stress. You need to be confident, and everybody in your household needs to be able to know what to do.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to... It's a stressful situation and nobody knows how they're really going to react. So,
And having that community group around you supporting in those areas is fantastic.
For our area, I think it's been a big bonus for us, because everybody's just built their contacts. We more of us know their neighbours who else is in the community, and we're just progressing along that building those communication lines. Yeah. Not only with the locals, but also with the council and with the agencies as well, and getting our name known. And the more we can get out, the more information we can get back.
Yes.
And the better that'll be for the whole community.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so you're currently working on drafting that community emergency plan. Is there any idea of what that might look like as a resident in the area?
Well, at the moment, we're still in the early stage of it, but obviously there's a lot of information available in that regard. Another thing I found at the Powelltown exercise was it's important to have a brief and concise plan rather than have a whole lot of information in it that's confusing.
Yes, you mentioned 32 pages, their first version, third version is a two-pager.
Yeah, that's something we'll be working on, I'm sure. So, although there's a lot of information available for people, in an emergency, you don't want to be reading through a book with 60 yes. pages, and you need to be able to go to know what you're doing and go to what section. So we'll be working on that. It's a highlight, I think, for what we'll be working on.
And so what's next for you then? Are you working on that emerging plan? Is there anything else happening for the group that you'd like to,
For me, that's the highlight. The community, again, still agitating about the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had some input into the play space for the new Upper Yarra Dam when that's completed. So that was another community activity we got involved in. And we have the... a Christmas party, and that's always a good thing. The RMAG meetings that we have every month that people are able to come to.
Yeah, and the trivia nights have started.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Amazing.
That is, yeah. We're building it each week, really. It's getting more and more connected, and people are coming together. It's really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I'd like to put a thanks to Peter at the pub. Thanks.
Yeah,
because he lets us have our meetings in his meeting room. Yeah,
yeah.
So thanks, Pete.
Thanks so much. Well, thanks, Phil, so much.
No worries.
You're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
To finish off today's show about bushfire awareness and management, I have Nathan here. How you going, Nathan?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. So Nathan is from the council as well, and he's here to talk about as a resident how you can prepare and be ready for the bushfire season and emergency management, and a few things to be aware of. So, Nathan, give us your top three tips of how to be prepared. If you're a resident in the area, how are you going to be ready for this bushfire season?
Yeah, so making sure that your property is well maintained and clear of potential fire hazards. So they're things such as long grass, blackberries, and fallen branches. Particularly if you are on a large rural property, just consider making regular fire breaks where properties are nearby. On days permitted within the local laws for your property, now is the time to finish burning off before the CFA restrictions are in place. Unless you are in rural where there are currently no restrictions, you can apply on Council's website for a permit to burn if you require more term before the restrictions come in. I also want to note that burning off is for fuel reduction purposes only. And then obviously regularly maintaining your property throughout the fire season, so keeping the grass short, maintaining fire breaks, and any fallen branches should have their foliage removed and disposed of, and making sure that the branches are in small piles away from the house and any trees. And then obviously I'd highly recommend as well downloading the Vic Emergency app on your Android or smartphone, just to ensure that you're kept up to date with any incidents within your region.
Yeah, and so the local laws have just recently changed around the burn off. So where can people find more information about that in regards to the dates that were then coming into play and when that burn off times are appropriate and when you cannot burn off?
Yeah, so on Council's website, on the front page, there'll be a burning off section, and you just need to click on what's appropriate for your area. So for an example, if you're classified as residential bushland, it'll give you information on the days you can burn, which are Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. And then rural properties, you can burn any day since the changes have come into place. It also gives you some good information around registering your burn with emergency services to Telecommunications Authority. And you can call and register the burn on 1-800-668-511 prior to commencing the burn. And residents just need to ensure that the wind speed is no more than 19 kilometres an hour and the smoke doesn't cause any nuisance.
Yeah, lovely. And it's also good to also make sure you're aware of your neighbours as well, that you're doing those burn-offs.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Register through that 1-800 number.
Yep.
And there's some information on the council website as well around that, if they just search the burn-off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. And so what information can they find if they download the Vic Emergency app? What information there is there to help them keep informed around what's happening?
Yeah, so they'll be able to put on a specific radius of within their township,
mm-hmm.
and it basically gives any sort of information about whether there's a bushfire, storm related events, any sort of emergency service that gets recognised. Yeah, it'll pop up as an alert on the phone and give you all the information that's needed.
Yeah, fantastic. Any other tips in regards to somebody just moved to the area, or you've looking to renew or get prepared for bushfire season and you think about your plan again? Anything else you can think of that would be good to people consider around how they get to be ready besides those three tips? Is there anything else that you can think of that's sort of talking to your neighbours, making sure you connect with the locals and local community emergency plan, that you're aware of that and find out about that?
Yeah, I think obviously the key thing is, like Lisa Keedle said earlier, is keeping in touch with your neighbours. And certainly making sure that you've got a plan,
mm-hmm.
for what you want to do when there is a bushfire, and making sure that you keep up to date with that plan. And even as a family, if you can also reenact that a couple of times, just so that everyone's aware of what to do in that situation, that's probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah, fantastic. So thanks, Nathan. That's really helpful. As you said, you got the 1-800 number. Do you want to repeat that again? That was 1-800.
Yep. So that is 1-800-668-511.
Yep. And if people go onto the council website, they can just search burn off.
Yep.
And the search pattern, you'll come with all those information around the local laws, when you can do it, and how to register as well.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. Well, I think that's it for today's show. We've had a lot of information come through around emergency management and our councils being involved with local agencies, how local community groups out in Powertown and Reefton and Walton also have their emergency management committee as well. So helping you prepare as a resident in the area. And great to hear from Nathan here as well around, top tips and where to get information as well. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Nathan, as well?
Yeah, I would also like to encourage, where possible, for family, friends and or neighbours to offer their assistance in helping anyone that's in need of any assistance. just in case if a property is too big for someone to handle or someone's property is overgrown,
mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps that resident might need some help. So if you can offer your assistance in any way, you know, we all have a part to play.
Yeah, I think that's what Lisa said as well, and Kim and Phil around have been connected to communities. So getting to know your neighbours, if there's a community group in the area about emergency management or planning or any community group, they really help connect each other and make sure you look after each other and be aware during bushfire season. It's just the stronger we are connected, the better we can look after each other as well, which is fantastic. And to remind, yeah, this program today is being podcast on the Yarra Valley FM website. So if you're listening today and you'd like to hear some more or get more details, you can go to the Yarra Valley FM website and you'll be able to find the program there on podcast. So thanks again, Greg, for today.
No worries, Michael. It was a very good run of guests there and very, very interesting information. So, yeah, even if you're not living in the Roofton McMahon or Powertown, make sure you do have your emergency plan worked out in practical details as well as just in theory. And have you changed your smoke alarm battery?
Good point, yes.
Okay, this is Yarra Valley FM. Thank you again, Michael Goodrich from the Shire of Yarra Rangers, coming in. Great show. And Michael will be back on the first Monday of next month for another run. So this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1. It's